Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, dear listener. My name is Caitlin Adele Hanna, and this is the second part of a two-part debut episode of Critical Caitlin. If you're curious about part one, we discuss prosecutorial discretion and a potential solution for collateral damages in the criminal justice system. If that sounds cool to you, you can check that out on my Anchor channel. As we are basking in the technicolor glow of the holiday season, we are surrounded by warm feelings of family, friendship, and togetherness. For others, it can be a dreary, melancholic period marked by freezing temperatures and heated arguments. It is also a time of reflection of the year's triumphs and tribulations, births and deaths, and the hope for next year to be better. For this particular part of our debut episode, we will take a moment to reflect on an interesting case this year regarding the issue of religious expression and civil disobedience. We will focus on the story of the Kings Bay Plowshares, several Catholic political and social justice activists who infiltrated the Kings Bay Naval Submarine Base in protests of nuclear weapons. They have been since arrested and are currently at the early stages of their trial. To add some extra flavor to this legal analysis, we will also be discussing the accumulating issue of whether an expression of religious conscience can serve as a justification for civil disobedience from the perspective of an imaginary judge, myself. I'll temporarily abandon my decapitated snowman sweater in exchange for a Juris Doctorate and black robes for this legal issue. Court is now in session. It is first necessary to establish the core facts of the case. On April 4, 2018, the Kings Bay Plowshares infiltrated the Kings Bay Naval Submarine Base in Georgia. The Plowshares are not a centrally organized group, but it is comprised of members who consider themselves political and social justice activists in accordance with the teachings of modern American Catholic faith. This modernized interpretation of Catholicism is rooted in the Catholic worker movement, which is founded upon the principles of communitarianism and personalism. Co-founder of the Catholic worker movement, Peter Marin, explains these principles are practiced through personal obligation of looking after the needs of our brother, and creating a new society within the shell of the old with the philosophy of the new. University of St. Thomas history scholar Anne Clement just identifies the Catholic worker movement's political philosophy as Christian anarchism, which is interpreted by the Plowshares to engage in civil disobedience to protest political and social injustices that are against Catholic values. In an act of civil disobedience and protest against nuclear warfare, the Kings Bay Plowshares successfully infiltrated the Kings Bay Naval Submarine Base and were responsible for defacing buildings and signage with red paint and human blood. They were stopped as soon as possible from Navy officers and subsequently arrested. The culminating issue of the Kings Bay Plowshares is to consider if the Constitution justifies religious conscience in acts of civil disobedience occurring on federal property to prevent government activity. The protest executed by the Kings Bay Plowshares is arguably not integral to the practice of Catholicism, thus compromising their ability to claim the protest was an act of religious expression protected by federal law. There is a compelling government interest in the prosecution of the Kings Bay Plowshares on the charges of conspiracy, destruction of property on a naval installation, depredation of government property, and trespassing. Following the presentation of core facts, we will determine the legal validity of the arguments presented by the prosecution and the defense. Since the prosecution possesses the burden of proof, I'll first consider the arguments presented by Georgia prosecutors. Each of the seven defendants have disclosed in a formal confession that they were responsible for trespassing and vandalizing a federal facility. Therefore, with the presented agency of their actions, prosecution argues the Kings Bay Plowshares should take legal responsibility for their crimes. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993, abbreviated for this episode as RFRA, is a federal law that is intended to protect the free exercise of religion. However, within the RFRA is a specific exception that allows the government to substantially burden a person's exercise of religion only if it demonstrates that application of the burden to the person is in furtherance of a compelling government interest and is the least restrictive means of furthering that government interest. The purpose of the military is to protect the country, and protection of the country is argued by the prosecution to be a compelling government interest. The damages caused by the trespassing and vandalism could have resulted in disabling technology at the naval base, thus compromising the ability of naval officers to protect their local area. On the other side of the courtroom, the defendants are calm and deliberate in their actions. The Plowshares organization have a long history of other nuclear and war protests. The defense considers their actions as an exercise of their Catholic faith and civil disobedience, citing protection from the First Amendment and the RFRA. The First Amendment protects religious expression and political speech. Peace is emphasized throughout the Catholic faith, and as self-recognized peace activists, the Kings Bay Plowshares consider the protest an expression of modern American Catholicism, which, as previously established, expresses libertarian socialism in the form of civil disobedience. Therefore, the defense claims that protests such as the Kings Bay submarine base demonstration is an example of an integral practice of their specific denomination of Catholic faith in serving God through the promotion of peace and safety for all people. Ultimately, the more compelling argument belongs to the prosecution when considering the questionable application of the RFRA by the defense and the implication for policies regarding religious conscience in future crimes. The Kings Bay Plowshares share in their opening statements an emphasis on the connection between their religious faith and their responsibility as citizens. Religious texts such as the Bible may discuss the necessity of defending the poor and treating people equally, but the type of protest demonstrated is not necessarily discussed as integral to practicing Catholic faith. Plowshares could have executed other methods of peaceful protest, such as picketing outside of the vicinity of the Kings Bay Naval Submarine Base, or possibly outside of the offices of government officials. The Plowshares could have roused moral support from the community against the development and usage of nuclear weapons in Georgia by organizing mass marches and petitions in accordance with the public interest and the constitutional right to assembly. These alternatives would satisfy the Catholic belief in defending goodness and love for fellow man without the destruction of naval property or depredation of government property. Therefore, considering how the protest is not necessarily integral to the practice of Catholicism, I find the defense's RFRA claim to be questionable. Let us not forget that the RFRA can be of significant benefit for protecting the expression of religious practice. Legal precedent from Gonzalez v. Ocentro Espirita Beneficiente Unidad Vegetal, or Gonzalez v. UNV, is a 2006 case that reinforced that the government does not always have a compelling interest in prosecuting religious groups. However, the difference between the Kings Bay Plowshares and UNV is that the 2006 case proved the necessity of a Schedule I controlled substance as a sacred sacrament for their church. Denial of the substance would have significantly altered sacred traditions within the religious group. Unlike in the case of the Kings Bay Plowshares, there would have been limited, if not no, substitutions for the hallucinogen in UNV's daily practice of their religion. Thus, legal precedent from Gonzalez would arguably not be applicable in this particular case. Furthermore, when considering the alternative ruling in favor of the Kings Bay Plowshares, it is questionable to establish legal precedent protecting individuals from prosecution by justifying their crimes as an expression of their religious conscience. Religion, while it may be beautiful in connecting people together in a shared culture and tradition, does not share the same importance to all people. Different populations practice different religions, and others may not even practice religion at all. To allow religion to serve as a legal justification would place certain religions at a significant advantage over others in the law, thus compromising the promises of fair due process. This can also lead to the possibility that radical religions may make use of this legal precedent to commit harmful acts towards other people or themselves in the name of religious expression. The application of the RFRA to this case could hold significant collateral damages to due process, establishing a legal precedent of selective prosecution for certain religions. If the government attempts to prosecute a person from freely practicing their religion, that would be unconstitutional. However, if the government interest includes the protection of the country and the crime is not fully necessarily in the daily practice of the religion, the Kings Bay Plowshare should take full responsibility for their actions from the prosecution. Ultimately, it is my legal recommendation that the United States government has a compelling interest in prosecuting the Kings Bay Plowshares. The Plowshares chose to execute their peaceful protest on the 40th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination, and were deliberate in their choice to display a banner with the King quote of "the ultimate logic of racism is genocide." The Plowshares could also consider another quote by King on the definition of civil disobedience: an individual who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust, and who willingly accepts the penalty of imprisonment in order to arouse the conscience of the community over its injustice, is in reality expressing the highest respect for the law. If the Kings Bay Plowshares considers their protest as an act of civil disobedience, they must accept the penalty of imprisonment willingly to promote social justice awareness for this issue. To exchange the judge's robes for that decapitated snowman sweater again. This holiday season is considered a time for remembrance. In all honesty, it is unfortunate for the Kings Bay Plowshares to spend the holidays away from their families. Ultimately, acts of civil disobedience are reliant on the acceptance of risk, and they must have known this. The methodology of civil disobedience is to raise awareness of inherently flawed and unjust laws. It seems illogical, then, for the defense to be reliant on a particular federal law while protesting federal laws. Civil disobedience has been proven in the past to be an effective method in capturing social awareness towards injustice, and only time will tell if the progression of the Kings Bay Plowshares case will raise the issue of religious conscience as a legal justification for civil disobedience to the masses. At the moment, in the glow of a Christmas tree, in a quiet living room, with the rain pouring outside. At this moment, the facts of the case are not applicable to the constitutionally based protection of religious expression. However, as the trial progresses into 2019, we may be in store for some surprises. Thank you for listening to the second part of a two-part pilot episode for Critical Caitlin. In case you missed the first part, it was on prosecutorial discretion and a potential solution for collateral damages from sentencing. Like I said before, if that sounds cool, go ahead and check that out on my Anchor channel. Until then, see you next time. Or at least, maybe.